Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey, everybody. I'm here with photographer and business consultant Dave Ruark. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hello, Shamira.
And you know, I'm excited and I'm pumped to talk about this because today we're going to talk about the most common pains that we see among professional photographers. And I will say right off the bat that every single one of these pains I have felt myself in my own business. So before we get into it, we're going to have you just briefly give us an overview of yourself and what you're all about.
Okay, great. Yeah. So as you mentioned, I'm a photographer, mostly focusing on portrait photography. But I've also in the past, I've done a lot of business consulting, specifically business intelligence consulting, which is kind of looking at data that businesses gather and making sense of that, putting it into reports that make sense to people. And then I also did a lot of project management, including a lot of large event planning. I used to plan events like 10, 20,000 people, kind of concerts, things like that. And I used to do that. But now lately I've been focusing more on the portrait photography and on the business consulting.
And I think that's a really dynamic mix, by the way, your experience with business and photography. I find that people that we've had on the show, some of the most lethal photographers on this podcast, they have a business background. And that really, really helps them run a photography business. Which makes
yeah, that's
sense.
True. In fact, I you know, photography is a big part of what I do, but an even bigger part is the sales part and the thinking through that and the whole business process. So, I think if you are going to be successful as a photographer, you have to also think as a business, which has really made me appreciate your podcast. I've appreciated listening to all the interviews that you've done, especially focusing on that business side of photography.
Thank you. This was born out of a selfish desire. to give me an excuse to talk to other photographers and business professionals about how the heck they make it work.
Right.
But thank you. So just to give a little bit of backstory, we've actually been having discussions with actual photographers to find out what their greatest pains are in the hopes of finding possible solutions for them. So do you want to give us a little bit of detail on that before we get into the pains?
Sure. Yeah. So Shamir and I, I guess it was about a year ago, we started talking about what could we do to help photographers to help them do better with their businesses. And was there a project we could work on like that? And because you and I are in a mastermind together. And so through that kind of was born out of that we said, hey, let's do this thing. We'll interview a bunch of photographers. You were already, of course, interviewing photographers for the podcast. But we said, well, let's interview some other photographers. I'll talk to them more as a consultant. Find out what their business problems are, their business pains, what are they feeling. And so we talked to over 20 photographers from all across the United States and even one in the UK, people from Detroit to Grand Rapids to Lexington, Kentucky to Portland, Oregon to Los Angeles to New York City. And like I said, even one in England. So, and we talked to a lot of folks. Spent a lot of time with them, interviewing them, multiple interviews, and found out just kind of what some of the pains were. And through that, we saw kind of surfacing some real common pains that photographers were feeling. Some was just, you know, different if you were at a different, some were just new photographers were feeling this pain, but there were some, even one that was really felt across the entire spectrum, like that pain that pretty much everybody was feeling. And so we put together a list of those and then also as I was interviewing them, finding out what kind of solutions were they trying, what was working, and we're able to put that together also into a report. So we wrote this report. It's got a list of a bunch of different pains and kind of what some of the solutions could possibly be to get out of those pains, what people are doing and finding successful.
Awesome. Awesome. Great. So I'm going to have you lead us through the pains. We have six pains, correct? Listed?
Right.
With solutions. Great. Let's get to number one.
Well, as I mentioned, there was some pains that were felt particularly by newer photographers. And the first one is one of those. The folks who are new into photography, that feeling of being undervalued. where a number of the newer photographers that I talked to, they would lament about the fact that people expected them to work for free for exposure. Hey, why don't you just bring your camera? You know, that kind of thing. Or if they did offer to pay them, they were going to haggle over the prices, right? They wanted to try. They really were. And it can make a photographer question their value, question whether what they do is worth it. And so what we found, so that was a big pain I think a lot of people have felt, especially when they start out. Now, the more seasoned photographers, you know, they just let that roll right off their back. But for the younger photographers, it really isn't an issue. And so I talked about, well, especially with the more seasoned photographers, what are things that you've done in the past to help with this pain? And what we found was that it was really, most photographers reviewed it as an issue of education, of educating their clients about what was actually happening. Because most people, they're only, you know, they're familiar with photography in the sense that, you know, clicking a picture on their phone, and they think that's it. So why, you know, why is that, why should I be paying you hundreds or thousands of dollars to be clicking a button? When in reality, there's a lot more that goes into it. And folks just, the clients just need to be educated about what actually goes into the process of photography. From the equipment, I mean, your equipment isn't going to last indefinitely. It only has a certain number of shoots in it. So how much, you know, does each shoot go towards, you know, how much money are you depreciating every time you get a piece of equipment out of its bag? How much does that cost you? And things like that. And that can add up after a while, you know, $50, $25 a time every time you take something out. And then there's all the planning that goes into the shoot that a lot of folks don't think about. As you're thinking through, well, where do we want to go? Or, you know, what are we going to, or if it's in the studio, what poses are we going to do? Thinking through all of that. That comes with experience, that comes with thinking through that. That comes from researching and looking at different poses that people are doing, you know, getting on the internet and looking at what are some of the newer poses that are really cool and people would really appreciate. So there's a lot of time that goes into the preparation with the equipment and the preparation. But then there's also the expertise that you actually bring, that you're able to pose people. Mm-hmm. I know one photographer I talked to, did a whole shoot and then it was with a friend and they got done and he told him how much it was going to cost. And the guy was like, no way, I'm not paying that much. I guess they didn't talk about it at the time because they were friends. And so, so he said, I'm going to do this myself. So he went and got a camera. The guy who wasn't the photographer went and got a camera, went back to the same place, thought he was doing the exact same thing that the photographer was doing. And a week later he called that photographer back and said, how much did you want for that?
See,
because he looked at it and he said it was just night and day, the difference, right? Because the photographer had that experience, knew how to pose somebody, knew how, you know, well, the other person thought they could just buy a camera and go to the same location and get the same results, and they didn't get anywhere near the same results.
And by the way, I hear versions of the story all the time, even in talking to, I guess, normal people or non-photographers, where they're going, or people who have come to me, asked my pricing, found out what it was, said no way, and then they go to the cheaper photographer down the street, or someone mm-hmm. who'll do it for free, or Uncle Bob right. with a camera.
Right.
And then they go and they have a terrible experience, and then I either hear about it later, like they'll come back to me, or I'll see something on social media. We had someone recently who, she just had a wedding, actually, and she went with a photographer that was not good. And something like a wedding, that's a big, huge deal, right? Because if your photographer messes that up, that's a one-time event. So mm-hmm. helping clients understand...
There's no do-overs.
Right, exactly. And in presenting our value as photographers, I believe that is what helps set us apart, communicating to the client the expertise that we bring as photographers to the situation.
Exactly. So, and then after that, there's the whole post-production.
Oh my gosh.
That goes into that. A lot of folks have no idea how much better we can make images look with Photoshop, Lightroom, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so educating people about that. Maybe in the first time you meet with someone, you could have two versions of a portrait, one that you've processed and one that you haven't.
I've done
just
that
to show them what the difference can be. And to help them understand the expertise that you're bringing to their photo shoot. So, and one way that you can reinforce that education is with the materials that you bring, if you're going to sit down with someone and present your prices and things like that, is to have really high quality stuff. Don't just put it on a, you know, 8.5 sheet, but you know, 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Put something together that's like magazine quality, that they can look at. Make a nice brochure, and it's not that hard to do nowadays with everything that we know. So, and all the resources we have with computers and the internet. So make sure that you have a really nice presentation to show someone that actually reflects how good of a photographer you are and how well you can deal with images and things like that.
Absolutely. We had someone on the show who actually referred to this as kind of sending signals to your clients. So it's how you present yourself, and they're taking note of every little thing, even if they don't realize it. So if you hand them an 8.5 by 11 thin sheet of paper versus a wonderful, fabulous magazine quality brochure, you know, they're picking up on those signals that you're taking. And it also reflects how seriously you take yourself as a photographer. And I just wanted to add to that. So ways to communicate our worth. It is the brochure that we can have. I'm so glad that you mentioned the initial consultation or just sitting down with them and kind of telling them what to expect, doing the side-by-side image thing. I actually like to go over the entire process with them. I do this in person. I also do this via emails that I send out. And I also have a page on my website where I'm just like, hey, this is the process. This is how we're going to work together. And I make sure to include what happens after the shoot as well. So, like, I'll put in there, like, I'm going to polish your photos and make them look awesome, just so that they don't take that for granted.
Exactly.
Cool. Let's move on to number two.
All right. So, number two, a pain that a lot of photographers felt was studio issues. Again, this was somewhat the newer photographers, and also the photographers in the more northern climates where winter is an issue. Exactly, like Michigan.
You're right.
And so the lack of affordable studio space, especially in the beginning. So this was mostly, like I said, a problem for the photographers in the northern climates with inclement weather, where daylight, you know, it gets dark at 4:30 in the afternoon. So during the spring and summer and fall, you can do a lot outside. But in the winter, your portrait business can just grind to a halt, and really you can lose a lot of momentum. So a common solution for this, as I asked folks what they did, there was a number of co-opting together with other photographers to rent studio space, because you didn't, of course, need it all the time, or even renting temporary space from other businesses or from nearby universities, places like that, where you can get a space to set up. And then, of course, batching your shoots together as much as possible, so you have a number of shoots on the same day. So you can rent one place where you can, either a studio or a place where you can set up your portable studio, and then just do shoots all day long. That was kind of the common solution that a lot of folks had found that was helpful. And that was helpful as I talked to some of the, especially the younger photographers, that this was the kind of thing they could do, because they were really stuck on that. So that this was helpful to them.
Yeah, definitely. And I know one thing that I've utilized in the past, it's something that I would do again, is renting photography studio spaces. So there's here in Michigan, we have this wonderful spot called ProCam. ProCam. Shout out to ProCam. And they have a space that you can rent, but there's also a store attached. And so they have photographers coming in and out all the time. And they have this awesome studio space with all these backdrops. There's lighting there. They even have a tech that can help you with the lighting.
And
you know, it's not that expensive if you only need it for like a couple hours, 2 or 3 hours, for example. And the wonderful thing about having the store attached is that if you forget anything or you find you need anything, there's a store right there. So you can purchase equipment or you can rent equipment, which can be a little bit dangerous because they have much eye candy.
To watch.
But, you know,
watch the bottom line.
I want to make sure and mention that if someone is looking to rent a space, make sure you build that into your price.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely take that into account. Don't let that eat away from your profit.
Right.
And like I said, it's not that expensive to rent a space. And so you build that into your price. You get some awesome shots. And then you can raise keep raising your price as your expertise goes up as a photographer.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Lay number three on me.
All right, so three was the pain of photo management. So how do you organize your photos? How do you keep them backed up? How do you deliver them to clients? Those are all problems that photographers need to solve. So most of the photographers who were happy with their photo organization. We're using Lightroom or Lightroom's organization features. And while they admitted that there had been a learning curve to that at the beginning, they all agreed that it was well worth it. So that was a common solution. When it came to keeping your photos backed up, a lot of the photographers, they were kind of all over the place. But some used external hard drives and some used online solutions. I think the folks who were doing it best were doing both. And while they admitted that, some were using Dropbox and others were using other various online albums as kind of a way to deliver things. Some were burning them to CDs, some were using USB drives. Some used the online services like PixieSet or Shutterfly Pro Gallery. Mm-hmm. And then some whose business models included selling the prints and leather albums and things like that were developing, were delivering really high quality things. We're just doing theirs in person, which I liked. So I thought that was a cool idea. And mm-hmm. So,
very
yeah,
cool.
That's kind of. Yeah, exactly. So yeah. It was a lot of different things, but we found that there was a lot of good solutions out there as well. So
yeah, it's great that there are a lot of good solutions. I know it can be a headache when you have a ton of video files. I use Drobo, and it's great.
Okay.
It's automatic. Other possible solutions, there's Sozinfolio, which is a photography website builder, but they also have galleries, and I believe they have raw photo storage as well.
Oh, great.
And so every time I upload a gallery, my photos are there. So, yeah. Awesome. Good stuff. Number four.
So number four was the workflow and administrative challenges.
Yeah.
And so one thing I found was that photographers that I interviewed really loved the actual shoot itself. Like that was sort of that was why they went into photography was mm-hmm. to do that. It was their favorite part of the business. It's, when you think of a photographer, that's what you think of. It's where their artistry was shining. And then about half of those we interviewed also really loved processing the photos. They loved their time in Lightroom and Photoshop, and they saw this as a way of doing artistic expression as well. For some, the rest of the business was just kind of this necessary evil that they needed to do so that they could do what they loved. And although some did enjoy the business side, I think like you, Shamira, enjoy the business side, and
to
others
an extent,
that we talked
yes.
to. What's that?
I said to an extent.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And so, and the relating to their client side, that was one that a lot of the photographers did enjoy, was the dealing with the people. But almost everybody found that the administrative side of it, of the business, was challenging, or at least have found it challenging in the past and now have some solutions for it. So these are things from scheduling the shoot to contract management, all those different kinds of the different various business administrative tasks that need to happen. So those were all kind of a pain. So when it came to scheduling shoots and following up and bookkeeping, all of that, those were all pains that we found when we interviewed these photographers. Some even, there's also maintaining your website. And, you're always wanting to have fresh photos on there. And especially as your photography gets better and better, you want your best stuff on there. So there's keeping it updated in that way. When it came to contract management, that was when including getting people to sign the contracts, mailing them back and forth. That used to be a pain for some photographers. And then some have been using 17 Hats was a common solution that I heard. Mm-hmm. And then I know you use Sprout Studio.
I do for that.
So those are some
helpful.
Common the online contract management tools that you can set up. And the setup can be a bit of a hassle, but once you've got the processes and workflow set up, it makes the whole process much easier.
And one example, or not example, but objection that I've heard from photographers who are looking into getting kind of some management software, mm-hmm. they kind of shudder at the price. By the way, I don't think it's that expensive, but they have, there are different pricing, plans out there, but they are monthly. And so, yes, that is something that you're spending every month. But what I found is that it saves you so much time and keeps you so much more organized. It's worth mm-hmm. it. When I signed up for Sprout, I was still within their, I think they have a 14-day free trial period. It's 14 or 21 days. When I was still within that time period, I had a client and I decided to test her out on Sprout. And so I used one of their workflows and kind of customized it for my own needs. And I sent her her contract to sign electronically. And she signed it early and sent full payment for her shoot early. And I was like, I thought something was wrong. Like, what's happening here? And so I was like, I had months and months and months of Sprout Studio paid for while I was still in the free trial period. So it's definitely worth it.
Paying for yourself.
Yeah, and 17 Hats, those guys are awesome too. Those guys and gals, ladies and gentlemen, because I've talked to them as well, and they are really up on their game. So.
Yeah. Yep. So that is something, and. If you thought about like in the halcyon days of ore of, you know, let me think of the back in the day when you would have to do this stuff, you would have had to hire somebody. You would have had to have somebody, you know, hire an office person to manage your contracts and that kind of thing, just to get as much. And now how much would you have paid them compared to how much you're paying for Sprout Studio or 17 Hats or something like that? It's just so much more affordable now than it would have been 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
All right. So, what is? Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say. So that's contract management, keeping websites updated with recent photos and galleries. That's kind of a daunting task, especially if you've let it go for a couple of months. So the photographers who stayed on top of their websites tended to be those who were updating their blog, and they complained a lot less if they were doing it. You know, a couple of times a month, just keeping, you know, doing it as opposed to letting it build up and then have to do a big project. One of the photographers kept a log of her favorite photos whenever she came across them. So she actually just had a notebook next to her computer. And whenever she was working on something and she said, oh, I really like that one, she would write down the name of the image. And so then when she would go to update her website, she had a list of all the images she wanted to put on it already sitting right next to her computer.
Hey, so, if that works. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, do you want to lead us to pain number five?
Pain number five is one that it's almost obvious, right? It's finding clients. How do I find clients? So, and if you ask any business person in whatever business they're in, what their biggest pain is, that's going to be their first answer. Oh, finding clients. How can I find more clients? Some photographers put, you know, a lot of effort into their website to make sure they were optimized for search engines, so that when you did the phrase photographer in their city, they were the one that came up at the top. Some had learned to do that themselves. Some had hired that out to, you know, some search engine optimization specialists. But as we interviewed the photographers about finding clients, we did see a pattern emerge. One that the seasoned photographers had figured out, but the newer photographers were just beginning to grasp. And that that it wasn't just about finding clients, but that it was also about finding the right clients.
Absolutely.
And that the sooner you can find the right clients, the clients who get you, who get your art, get, you know, like your style, as soon as you figure that out, who is your ideal client, then the faster your business is going to grow. And we saw that with the more seasoned photographers that we talked to.
I just interrupt?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was just talking about this with Scott Bourne over at the Photo Focus podcast. And we kind of touched on this for one of their episodes. And it's finding the right client is huge. And you almost think that would be obvious, but so many of us step into photography and don't really give that thought.
Right.
I've noticed a trend with newer photographers, and I definitely did this when I started, where when I started shooting, if you were to ask me who my ideal client was, I would have said everybody. I would have said everybody. And how is that helpful? It's not at all. I was at a training this weekend, and one thing they said that stuck with me, and of course I'm going to butcher the quote, but they essentially said, if your ideal client is everybody, then it's nobody.
Right.
So you have to really analyze not only who do you want to work with, but also where they hang out, what values are important to them, what are they willing to spend money on, and even what kind of language do they use. And so, example, for me, I'm focusing on businesses here in Michigan, specifically within Port Huron in St. Clair County. Now, so the words that I use, even on my website or my brochures, the language is very different than if I were trying to market to young brides under the age of 35. For example. Mm-hmm. So it's a completely different language that you use. And so it is so essential that you take time to determine who your ideal client is. And it'll make marketing so much easier. You'll get more yeses much more quickly.
Right. Exactly. And of course, that's going to mean that you might be turning down, someone might come to you and ask, and if you realize they're the wrong kind of client, and it's really hard to turn them down, right?
Yeah, I think it is in the beginning. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird and evil, but if I have to say no to somebody and I know they're not the right client, then it makes me kind of happy. Well, not happy, but relieved. Because mm-hmm. I know that I just dodged a headache for the both of us.
Right. Yeah. It was good. You were heading into a stressful situation
because
they probably weren't going to like what you provided them with.
And I'm more than happy to refer them to another photographer that will serve them better, so that mm-hmm. that client will end up happier at the end of the day. So no's right. can be okay. I wrote an article on Photo Focus about something about no being your best friend or something. So it's, yeah, there is merit in that for sure.
Now you have to put that in the show notes.
Yeah, totally. I can find that post for sure.
Well, it's another well-known fact that in photography and in any business, really, that the majority of your clients are either going to be repeat clients, folks you've done before, mm-hmm. or they're going to be referrals from former clients. Mm-hmm. That's, in fact, as I interviewed photographers, that was very much the case. Some of those who are doing bridal shows or doing a lot with SEO websites, we're still seeing 80% or more of their business coming from former clients or from referrals from those clients.
Did you say
80%, yeah. So even wow. the ones who are doing a lot with marketing, going to bridal shows for the wedding photographers, doing mm-hmm. a lot with SEO on their websites, and those who hadn't mastered that kind of marketing were basically more at 100%. They'd started with their networks that they already had mm-hmm. To get started, but then now that they're going, almost 100% of their business is either coming from former clients or referrals from former clients. So, going back to having the right client idea is, I had one photographer say, if I take a 3-hour wedding, I'm going to get lots more 3-hour weddings referrals. So he doesn't take 3-hour weddings because he doesn't want 3-hour weddings.
Exactly.
He wants, the whole day. So he turns those down. So that was another thing that we saw, was that almost everything was coming from, even those who were doing a lot with marketing, still 80% was coming mm-hmm. from former clients as repeat business or former clients giving referrals for new clients.
And this is huge because this is something I will raise my hand and admit, it took me a while to catch on to this myself for my own business, is that these clients, these repeat customers, I'll just start with them, they've already spent money on your services. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they like you, and
right.
hopefully they trust you. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you gave them an awesome experience. And so they are far more likely, even just statistically, far more likely to come back to you to spend money, as opposed to you trying to recruit someone completely new.
Right.
Now, I've noticed that for some reason, again, I'm guilty of this in the beginning, we focus so much on finding new clients that we kind of forget about the ones that we've worked with. It's just like, I got to find new people,
right.
do the photo
right.
shoots, and then kind of fall off the earth after the photo shoot. By the way, that's one of the biggest complaints I hear from non-photographers. So just people that are looking for or have had experiences with photographers, is that they had all this attention before the shoot, and then after the shoot, the photographer just kind of disappeared. I mean, I've heard
right.
some people say that they struggle to even get the photos from the photographer, which is terrible, by the way.
Right.
But even when they get the photos, they never hear back from the photographer again, which doesn't make sense, because any family will have multiple needs throughout the course of their multiple photo needs throughout the course of their life. So if you're working with a young bride to be that's going to get married, now let's even say she's engaged. So they're going to need photos for the engagement. And then mm-hmm. if she likes you, they'll come back to you for you to work the wedding. And then she'll probably have a kid. And so they're going to need photos of the baby, and then graduation photos. And if she gets divorced and married again, because I hear that all the time too, well, there's another wedding for you. I mean, it's just, that's
right.
just how it is these days. So yeah, it's, past repeat clients is such a huge source of income that a lot of photographers just kind of overlook. I mean,
right,
we get busy.
Because you're spending
stuff.
All your time looking for the new client.
Yeah, and all this time and effort trying to recruit
yep.
people who don't know who the heck you are. And there are all these
right.
other photographers out there. So, and like you said as well, referrals are so powerful. I've gotten referrals where people didn't even need to see my work. They were just like, my friend referred you. So do you want to do a shoot? Some of them don't even ask me how much I charge, which is great when they don't, when they just want quality and they're not so concerned with price, because they're the ones that will just pay. So that's great. for sure.
Shamir, this makes me think of Joe Girard, who was listed in the Guinness Book of World Records as the one of the best salesmen of all time.
Yeah.
And he sold cars actually here in Detroit, in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And he was his average for selling cars. So the average across the nation for car dealership for selling new cars was something like 6 cars per month per salesperson. His average was 6 cars per day.
So
he just blew everybody else out of the water. And when he was asked how is it that he was able to do that, he gave two reasons that were his main two reasons. The first was he focused on getting referrals. So when he would sell a car to someone, he would give them a letter that explained his referral process, that if someone came to him and bought a car, that he would then give them a certain dollar amount as a thank you for the referral. And so every single person that bought a car from him knew that if they, you know, that if they referred somebody else to him, they would get, and then that person bought a car, they would get a referral fee from that. And so, and he said about a third of his business came from those referrals. But he said that two-thirds of his business came from this other thing that he did. And what he did was every month he sent a greeting card to every single one of his former clients, every single one of his former customers. So, and sometimes it would be, you know, it'd be a St. Patrick's Day card or, you know, a Valentine's card or whatever. And it would only say, it would say on the inside, it would have their name. And then it would say, I like you, Joe. That was what he put on the inside. And so there wasn't
That's
much
awesome.
There. He didn't spend a lot of time on it. But he made sure that every month they thought of him at least for a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came time for them to buy another car, who were they going to go to? They were going to go to Joe. And so two-thirds of his business came, was repeat business. And he credited that to him keeping them at the top, keeping his former customers at the top of their minds,
mm-hmm.
keeping Joe as the top of their mind, at the top of their minds. So, so that was I think a really good example of that, of keeping in touch with your former clients so that both you get the repeat business as well as you get the referrals.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even just focusing on this, it will make your marketing efforts much more successful. You won't have to spend as much energy trying to bring in new clients if you're keeping your current clients happy enough to send other referrals your way or to come back. And you bring up a great point about staying top of mind, by the way, because there are people that you may, how do I put this? There are people that you may want to work with, and they may be a good fit, but maybe it's just not the right time. Or, you know, there's so much being thrown at us these days that some people, you know, may not need a photo shoot in a particular month. Maybe they'll, you know, need some 6 months down the line.
Right.
But when they do need it, they need to think of you first.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Cool.
Yeah. And that actually brings us to the kind of transitions into the last pain. Which was the most common pain. This was the pain that every single photographer I talked to felt. And that was staying in touch after the job is done, which you already kind of brought up. So
I ranted.
You did. You know, that is a pain that everybody feels.
Yeah.
That most people wish, every photographer I talked to, well, except for maybe one who was doing a really great job of staying on top of this, felt this as a pain, felt this as like they wish they were doing a better job staying in touch with their former clients or with their regular clients, that they wish they would do is somehow having some kind of contact with them and feeling a little bit guilty about not doing it.
For sure. So. For sure. And a lot of them will say, well, at least I'll speak for myself. It's hard to find the time.
Right.
Because I have this constant flow of clients going through and photo shoots happening. And after I've gone delivered someone's images to them, well, how the heck do I find the time to remember to send them emails or to send them a card saying, I like you, you know?
Right. I like you.
Yeah.
Shamira. Yep, exactly.
Definitely.
So, some folks try to do it with social media. They figure, well, if I'm putting stuff on social media, it's going to come across their feeds. But I think you did an interview with, I think it was Frederick Van Johnson. He called, I remember him calling this, he said that if you're over relying on social media, that you're basically a digital sharecropper.
Yes.
And I thought that was pretty, I'm like, yeah, because you don't actually know whether they're seeing it or not. You don't
oh
know if Facebook, the you know, the algorithms and everything that
constantly
Facebook or
changing.
Instagram uses, is that really going to get them into their feed? You're not going to, maybe, you know, you're probably not tagging every single one of your former clients in your posts. So is it actually getting through to them? Are they actually seeing that? Is Facebook going to change the rules tomorrow that makes it harder for your former clients to see, the things that you post? So it is a little difficult. And so it's kind of like hoping that they'll see something from you.
Oh, for sure.
There was,
like, for sure. You know, Facebook,
yeah,
they
yeah.
recently changed their algorithm, and it's
right.
getting more and more to the point where you have to kind of pay to play, where they want you
exactly.
to run ads in order
right.
for your people to
the
see you.
Posts or
yeah.
whatever.
Organic
yeah.
reach is ridiculously low right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
Which is frustrating.
There were a smaller percentage of the photographers that I talked to that were keeping usable email lists of their former and potential clients, and then mm-hmm. sending out like monthly newsletters and things like that. When you do have your client's email information, it is an asset for your business. That
oh,
is something
sure.
that you can have, which is much better than social media, because you, when you send it to them, you have a pretty good idea that they're going to see it, that they're going to open it. At least a certain percentage of them are going to open it and see that. So,
I'd say it's one of the most important assets. Actually, are those emails from
mm-hmm.
your clients and sending out monthly newsletters? That's
yeah.
pretty
and,
good.
And those newsletters consisted of they would write articles about recent photo shoots, or they would even put in some tips about photography,
mm-hmm.
you know, to help other folks with their you know, amateur or hobby photography. And then some of them would include upcoming specials or deals or offers, such as discounted sessions, usually during the slower months, or incentives to refer somebody for you know, maybe if they refer somebody, then you get maybe a free weekday session or something like that, or an extra print from their last shoot. Or
mm-hmm.
One person did something, I think they called it, now I'm forgetting the name of it. It was like give 100, save 100 or something like that, where if you referred somebody, they would get $100 off their sit fee, and you would get $100 off your next sit fee.
Nice.
So I think this was a person who was charging about $500 sit fee. So, but that's
okay.
what they were. They were doing. So it was a pretty, you know, sizable reward for referring somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then some of those that we talked to had experimented with sending physical items.
Mm-hmm.
So either, you know, physical note cards, Christmas cards, birthday cards, anniversary cards. Some were handwritten, some were not. Some used their own photos as artwork on the card. So they would print cards up with some of their work on the, as the art on the front. Some even sent gifts, especially to their larger clients. And they use services like Giftable, or I think MPix Pro was another one that got used, Miller's Lab. Those can make it easy to do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And those that did experiment with the physical cards and gifts did see a result in terms of a flurry of booking activity in the few weeks following whenever they would send that out. Like
mm-hmm.
one person sent out a, you know, big batch of Christmas gifts, and then a bunch of bookings happened a couple of weeks after that. And so they attributed mm-hmm. to that marketing success.
Very nice.
Yeah. So really, to sum up, so I think that's all six of the pains that we found that were real common.
Yep.
But even looking at those six pains, really, I don't think there's a better time to be a photographer in the history of photography than right now, because many of these pains we've heard, they all have solutions. They all have, and actually most of the time they have pretty inexpensive solutions to
mm-hmm.
them. And now there's some folks who are, you know, you hear a lot of griping and complaining amongst photographers about how everybody's got an iPhone and everybody's, you know, and the thing is, I'm not sure any of those folks would have already paid for photography. In fact, as I've looked at, done a little bit of the market research, photography as a business industry is continuing to grow
mm-hmm.
and continuing to see more and more photography businesses each year, and more money is being made. So
mm-hmm.
it's a good time to be a photographer.
And by the way, the solutions that we talked about today, I think that's a good way to stand out as a professional photographer. So yeah, a million people have DSLRs and iPhones,
right.
but when you just take the extra step to stay in touch with your clients, for example, afterwards,
mm-hmm.
or send a physical card, that's something.
Or have a smooth contract process.
Absolutely.
Smooth onboarding process, smooth follow-up process. Deliver your photos in your portraits in a great way.
Right. That whole workflow, that's not something that everybody does. And I've had clients comment to me like, oh, I really liked your contract page. That was really sleek. That was a really, I kid you not, like that's a really nice process. And you can tell that they haven't yet encountered that from other photographers. So yeah, while there are a lot of people out there calling themselves photographers, there are ways to stand out as a professional photographer and have people take you seriously.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Awesome.
So Shamira, one thing that you and I have been working on, is we've been thinking about how is it that we can especially solve that big problem, the one that we saw across the board that everybody had, the staying in touch with your former clients, both in terms of getting repeat business and in terms of getting referrals. And so you and I have been working on a little project, a little software project that we think will help photographers do that. And so, and right now, and it's the kind of thing where, you know, like we're trying to kind of do the Joe Girard thing where we can, where people are getting regular communications from you. But we are trying to make that take as little time from you as possible.
Right. Get rid of the guilty feeling that I constantly have.
Exactly. Yep. And leave that guilt. Yeah. And it's kind of like, one way I think of it is that, you know, when you run into a client at the grocery store or while you're out on errands and it turns into another shoot, because they thought of you because you were at the top of their mind because they saw you.
Exactly.
Is that we want to kind of instigate that and make those kind of run-ins happen. So if you're, if there was a way to automate sending an email or a physical card or something like that to your former clients on their birthdays, on their anniversaries, at Christmas, at the holidays, or maybe it's been almost a year since their last photo shoot. And, you know, they like to do, obviously, like everybody likes to do a fall photo shoot. You could send out an email saying, hey, it's been almost a year since your last photo shoot. Did you want to book something again this year? Mm-hmm. And I know that some of the folks who do really well, and the one photographer I mentioned who was really on top of it, that's something she does with every single one of her clients, is when it's, you know, 6 weeks before the last, you know, the anniversary of the date they did the last photo shoot, they get a message from her. Hey, did you want to do that again? That if there was a way to automate that, to make that so that it just happened automatically as kind of part of your follow-up process, that would be awesome. And as we talked with the photographers that we'd interviewed and asked them, would that be awesome? They all said, yes, that would be awesome if we could do that. So that's what you and I have been working on is there a way that we can put together some software that you could, you know, easily onboard yourself, put in your client's information, and then have these kind of automated emails go out from you to them. To sort of instigate, and then they, of course, when they reply to it, it comes to your inbox. Mm-hmm. It says, "Oh, hey, look, they're looking. They do need to, do want to do another photo shoot. They do have a need, or they are going to give you a referral. That would all come back to you."
And so you know, I'm really excited about this because if I had had this even 5 years ago, my business would be much farther along. And one thing that I like, so one thing I struggle with is that number one, I get busy after I've worked with a client. And for me personally, number two, I kind of chicken out as far as sending out occasional emails because I'm afraid that I'm going to be bugging the person. So one thing I like about the software is that it kind of takes out the equation of me chickening out and me being busy. And so it's keeping in touch with my past clients in a way that is professional and not pushy, but also reliable. Mm-hmm. So it... Yeah, I'm impatient, Dave, for the software to come out because I believe it'll absolutely revolutionize my business and other photographers' businesses as well. So what can people do to learn more about the software and how they can use it?
Sure. I'm glad you asked that. And just to summarize a little bit about what we've said. So if you are a person where the majority of your business comes from your former clients, either as repeat business or as referrals, yet you have no way of systematically engaging with them after their last photo shoot, this is for you. If you know that this is one of your most lucrative sources of business, but you're not making time for it either because you're too busy or you're struggling with organization, then this software solution is for you. If you feel guilty for not staying in touch and you'd like to show them that you care, but it takes so much time, time that you're not sure you have, then this software is going to be for you. And then lastly, if you're putting your hope in social media and you're hoping that they see your post or they're hoping that you see what you're putting up there, but you have no way of knowing if they do, then this software is definitely for you. And so the solution for this, what we're really hoping the software is going to do is that this is going to automate this communication so that it doesn't take so much time and it doesn't take too much organization. And so imagine your clients getting a regular email from you or perhaps a physical postcard from you on a regular basis, all without you having to remember to do it at all because you set it up at the beginning and it just goes. That's what we're looking at. So if this sounds like software, if you're that person, if you're that photographer, and this sounds like it could be a solution for you, then I want to talk with you. We're going to do some webinars. We've set up 3 webinars that we're going to do over the next few weeks as of recording this podcast. Now we do have some, and at these webinars, you're going to learn more about the software. You're going to learn more about what's required. You're also going to and have an opportunity to sign up to be what we're calling foundation members. So foundation members, they're kind of a combination of beta testers and people who are helping us shape the product to make sure it actually works and works really well. And so if you're interested in being one of these foundation members, I really highly encourage you to come to one of these webinars and learn more about it and learn how you can automate your communication so that you can take your pro photography business to the next level.
That's very cool. You know, full disclosure, I literally wake up in the middle of the night thinking about my photography business. And a lot of times it's, how am I going to find clients for the next month, the next quarter? So I'm really excited about just the peace of mind that this software has the potential to bring. So very cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so if you want to do that, you want to sign up for one of these webinars, the place to go is www.chatwithdave.co. So chatwithdave.co. And that's where you can learn about when we're doing the webinars and sign up for a slot in one of them. And we do have a limited number of spots available on the webinar. We also have a limited number of spots available for the foundation members. Yeah. We've already got 4 foundation members signed up. We're looking to get 15. So there's some spots left available. So come and learn about it and get signed up for one of those spots.
And one more time, that webinar link?
www.chatwithdave.co.
Nice and simple. I like it. Well, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
And you know, hopefully the photographers that are listening have found some solutions to their pains that they're experiencing. Because one thing I've found is that we all are experiencing pretty much the same pains. And a lot of photographers think they're in on it by themselves. They're kind of doing it alone, trying to figure out solutions by themselves. But we're here to help provide solutions. So, and to make our lives easier.
Absolutely.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast in search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.